The White House and the State Department did nothing with Hoover's wiretaps. But Hoover pushed his agents to continue. By the end of 1945, the FBI had a wiretap inside Frank Oppenheimer's home outside Berkeley. At a New Year's Day party on January 1, 1946, the FBI wiretap overheard Oppie, who had come to visit his brother, talking with Pinsky and Adelson. They tried to persuade him to make a speech about the atomic bomb at a rally they were organizing, but Oppie politely declined, though Frank agreed to do it. Adelson and Pinsky were not surprised. They had talked about the physicist with another party official, Barney Young, who said that the party had tried to communicate with Oppenheimer, but the physicist had done nothing towards maintaining contact. Oppie's old friend Steve Nelson, the head of the Oakland CP, had tried repeatedly to resume their friendship, but Oppie had failed to respond. Steve Nelson never did meet Oppenheimer again. Other party functionaries may have thought of him as someone once on the fringes of the party. But even Hoken Chevalier knew that Oppenheimer had never subjected himself to party discipline. Then and now, he had always taken an individualistic course. This made it difficult for anyone other than Oppenheimer himself to know exactly what his relationship had been to the Communist Party and what that meant to him. The FBI would never be able to prove Oppenheimer's party membership. But over the next 8 years, Hoover and his agents would generate some 1,000 pages each year of memos, surveillance reports, and wiretap transcripts on Oppenheimer, all directed toward the goal of discrediting this individualistic thinker. A wiretap on Oppenheimer's home phone at One Eagle Hill was installed on May 8, 1946. Hoover personally directed the investigation, and he had few scruples. Early in March 1946, the FBI used a Catholic priest in an attempt to turn Oppie's former secretary at Los Alamos, Ann Wilson, into an informant. Father John O'Brien, a Baltimore priest, claimed he knew Wilson as a Catholic girl and thought he could persuade her to cooperate with the FBI for the purpose of developing information concerning Oppenheimer's contacts and activities, particularly with regard to possible disclosure of atomic bomb secrets by him. Hoover agreed to the attempt, scribbling on the action memo, "Okay if Father will keep quiet about it." Father O'Brien then requested derogatory information concerning Oppenheimer that could be used in giving a pep talk to the girl. His FBI handler told him this would not be a safe tactic, not, at least, until they had sounded out Wilson. The priest met Wilson on the evening of March 26, 1946. The next morning, he phoned the FBI to report that the girl could not be persuaded to cooperate on the basis of her religious convictions and patriotism. Loyal and feisty, Wilson told the priest that she had complete faith in Oppenheimer's integrity. Though she knew the tall, blonde, handsome priest as a former high school teacher and close family friend, Wilson refused to give Father O'Brien any information. She expressed resentment over the fact that security agencies were watching Oppenheimer. Wilson said Oppenheimer had told her that the FBI had had him under surveillance, and she thought this outrageous. Oppie was angry about the surveillance. One day in Berkeley, he was talking to his former student, Joe Weinberg, when he suddenly pointed to a brass plate on the wall and said, "What the hell is that?" Weinberg tried to explain that the university had ripped out an old intercom system and covered the hole in the wall with this brass spacer. But Oppie interrupted him and said, "That was and always has been a concealed microphone." He then stomped out of the room, slamming the door behind him. Oppenheimer, to be sure, was not Hoover's only target. In the spring of 1946, the FBI chief was investigating scores of high-ranking Truman administration officials and disseminating outlandish allegations. Based on so-called reliable informants, he questioned the loyalty of numerous officials associated with atomic energy policy, including John J. McCloy, Herbert Marks, Edward U. Condon, and even Dean Acheson. Hoover's investigations of Oppenheimer and other members of the Truman administration in 1946 were a prelude to the politics of anti-communism, the use of the charge of communist, communist sympathizer, or fellow traveler to silence or destroy a political opponent. It was not, in fact, a new tactic. Such charges had proven lethal at the state level in the late 1930s. But with the growing rift between the United States and the Soviet Union, it was easy to focus attention on the need to protect our atomic secrets, and from this need emerged the justification to put anyone associated with nuclear research under close surveillance. Hoover was suspicious of anyone who deviated from the most conservative positions on nuclear issues. And no one working on atomic energy policy was more suspect to him than Robert.